The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
We've never really seen a cabinet look exactly like this. This is the most diverse cabinet in the history of the United States.
The first black women right in front of you for all of those three important, important key roles. But I want to take the opportunity to lay out how diverse the president's cabinet has been.
We worked very hard to have the most diverse White House staff in history.
The cabinet is majority people of color for the first time in history.
Record numbers of people of color working on the staff.
The cabinet is majority female for the first time in history.
First time ever, majority of the White House staff was female.
A majority of White House senior staff identify as female.
Majority of the senior White House staff was female.
40% of White House senior staff identify as part of the racially diverse communities. And a record 7 assistants to the presidents are openly LGBTQ+. And of his 143 nominees, 68% have been women and 66% are people of color. The first black, Latino, and AAPI judge.
We need to ensure that there is diversity on the bench. A diverse bench is a better bench.
Diversity and inclusion, that makes us a better military.
Diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Has $60 billion for diversity.
It's diverse and inclusive.
To diversity.
The first black woman, diversity. Diversity, diversity, highly diverse. Diversity, diverse.
The diversity.
Diversity.
No president in American history, none, has made appointments as diverse as President Biden.
While Rome burns, there they are bragging about diversity, equity, whatever that means, inclusion. They're bragging about all of this diversity. Melanie Phillips, this was her email blast just before we hit the airwaves. A world in ruins, she says. A world in ruins. Under that, failing to create an impossible new society, the joyless left are destroying the old one. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We certainly appreciate you joining our growing audience. Of course, you can get to the live video stream of this show. Just go to the URL, trumpetdaily.com. And, of course, don't forget about our mother website, the site that has all of the literature that we offer. We've got quite an explosion of it here on the table, as per usual. But the website is thetrumpet.com. Just go to thetrumpet.com. And you can order any and all literature that we plug on this show. Of course, you can call our 800 number if you'd like to talk to someone and get them to send it to you right away. They're standing by, our operators, the number 1-866-930-3024. So the more diversity there is in the administration, the more diverse the thought will be. That's the reasoning. And yet the irony here is that all of these people, whether they're black, white, brown, whatever, whatever their sexual orientation, but all of these people on the communist left, they think exactly the same way. You know, and KJP is a perfect example. She just brings the binder out and she reads all of the talking points for the day. Not one original thought. They all think, act, and say the same thing. That's because they're all communist ideologues. That's right. They don't talk about diversity and equity and inclusion when it comes to the January 6th protesters, when there were millions, certainly over a million. What about that diversity there? No, they want to throw those guys in jail. That's right. They want Donald Trump in jail. They want to destroy Trump. I think it was Steve Bannon's show this morning. He was hearkening, here we are in the Ides of March, and he was hearkening back to this Caesar play in the summer of 2017 in Central Park of New York, where they made Caesar out to look exactly like Donald Trump. And then all of those betraying Caesar, just a bloody scene, just horrific. They want to destroy the opposition. No diversity when it comes to the opposition political party. Not one shred of diversity. And then they go on and on about the diversity, their skin color, their sexual orientation. And as I say, how ironic that they all say and act the exact same way. They're like robots. They really are. For whatever reason, with everything exploding in the world this week, you had Joe Biden, some of his minions out there talking about destroying the Second Amendment. Of course, this is usual. I mean, this is common when there's a mass shooting of some sort, but there hasn't been anything like that. We're just about to have World War III in Europe, but leave that aside. Let's go on and on with the same old talking points. Here are these communist ideologues with just some of the crazier comments just this week. This is clip 15.
Obviously, the most important thing that could happen to stem gun violence in this country would be for Congress finally to pass long overdue legislation to ban assault weapons and high capacity magazines, to hold the gun industry accountable and take away its unique immunity from liability.
We've just raised the first generation of kids in an active shooter drill life. We're starting at 3. They learn how to be very, very quiet in their classrooms and hide.
Ban assault weapons. Ban them again. Do it now. Enough. Do something. Do something big.
6 years. Yep. And at the current rate of electrification and the price of renewables coming way down, the country's not going to need a national petroleum reserve in 6 years.
We don't keep the temperature from going above 1.5 degrees Celsius raised, then we're in real trouble. That whole generation is damned. I mean, it's not hyperbole. Uh-huh. Really, truly in trouble.
He's absolutely a magnificent leader. He is younger than I am, so I don't know what the... So I don't know what the problem is, but... In...
Now, it's important to note, President Biden does nothing at 9 a.m.
But my focus is just stay focused.
There's the fake leader going on and on about who knows what. But all of them together. Ban guns. Okay, ban guns. Climate change is going to destroy us all. Joe Biden's magnificent. What a phony show this is. It's an attack on the United States. You know all about this, most of you. America is under attack. It's like Melanie Phillips said with her subheading today. They failed to produce their utopian dream. But they're certainly having much success in destroying the America that we knew, the America that the founding fathers established. Now, there's more to the story. Again, you can't just blame all of the sins and the problems of this nation on the communist left. It's the sins of the people. It's the sickness from head to toe. We know this. But look at the focus of those that have seized control of power in Washington, D.C. Listen to them talk about all of their favorite talking points. As I say, it's exactly the same. It's just like hitting the play button on the tape recorder. Doesn't matter who the official speaker is. Listen to Joe Biden from yesterday talking about when the light finally switched on with respect to homosexual marriage. You'll get a bit from the reporter first, and then listen to his response. Clip two.
You codified support for same-sex marriage and interracial marriages like ours. I'm curious what your evolution was like on marriage equality and what the federal government might be able to do to protect LGBTQ Americans, especially trans kids who are dealing with all these regressive state laws that are popping up right now.
I can remember exactly where my epiphany was.
Okay.
I hadn't thought much about it, to tell you the truth. And I was a senior in high school, and my dad was dropping me off. I remember about to get out of the car, and I looked to my right, and two well-dressed men in suits kissed each other. I mean, they gave each other a kiss. And then one went, looked like he was heading to the DuPont building, and one looked like he headed to the Hercules Corporation building. And I'll never forget, I turned and looked at my dad. He said, "Joey, it's simple. They love each other. It's simple." No, I'm not joking. It's simple. They love each other. And it's never been, it's never been, it's just that simple. It doesn't matter whether it's whether it's same-sex or a heterosexual couple. They should be able to be married.
That reporter knows how old Joe Biden is, so you can see. That explains the confused look on his face when he says, I can remember exactly when the transformation in my thinking happened. It was when I was 18. The reporter first asked him, now you codified it, and I'm old enough to remember that. I think that was in 2012, 2013, when Joe Biden, he even preempted Barack Obama, and then Obama had to come out and say, yeah, I'm all for same-sex marriage, because both of them were against it when they were campaigning in 2008. So the reporter says, now, when did this, you're responsible largely for the codification of this same-sex, you know, laws for same-sex marriage equality, as they call it. When did your thinking change? Joe Biden says, it was all the way back in 1960. When I was 18 years old and I saw two men kiss. And there you go. And my father said, hey, they love each other. So that's when I knew. This is from the New York Times a couple years ago. It says, Mr. Biden's support for same-sex marriage in 2012 was a reversal for him and a watershed moment in his shift. And the nations on LGBTQ, I can't keep, they want the entire alphabet. So we might as well just say A through Z. Plus at the end, and then everything's covered. Good enough? It says here, Joseph Biden voted for the Defense of Marriage Act in 1996, blocking federal recognition of same-sex marriages. Shall I repeat this? He voted for the Defense of Marriage Act in 1996. And what did that do? It blocked federal recognition of same-sex marriages. Two years earlier, he voted to cut off federal funds to schools that teach the acceptance of homosexuality. In 1973, Mr. Biden, in an offhanded response to a question, wondered if homosexuals in the military or government were potential security risks. It's the New York Times, by the way. Just going through his career, right? It says, finally, Mr. Biden, 77, grew up in an era when homosexuality, the word routinely used as at the time, was often viewed as a sin and even a crime. So that's why he was against it for his whole career until he and Obama switched, Joe Obama, in 2012. Listen to Joe Biden before the 2012 transformation, clip 16.
The president used his radio address yesterday and tomorrow in the Rose Garden to talk about a constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage.
I can't believe the American people can't see through this. We already have a law, the Defense of Marriage Act, where we've all voted, not where I voted and others said, look, marriage is between a man and a woman and states must respect that. Marriage is between a man and a woman. What's the game going on here?
Do you support gay marriage?
No, Barack Obama nor I support redefining from a civil side what constitutes marriage. We do not support that.
So there you go. That's pre-2012, where he says marriage is between a man and a woman. See, but today, this is why he can sit down with a reporter today and lie. I mean, the man lies about everything. Today, the agenda, it's all about diversity, equity, and inclusion. So the reporter says, now, when did your thinking begin to change on this? With respect to marriage equality, with respect to same-sex marriage, and you know what Joe Biden today says? You just heard it. You heard it a moment ago. It happened back in 1960 when my dad said to me, hey, son, it's just all about love. Whoever loves each other should get married. Diversity, equity, and inclusion. As the world burns, you've got the neocons and you've got the Democrat communists pushing. We got to retaliate. We got to take out Russian planes because of what happened just yesterday. Pushing for World War III, for war with Russia. And then you look at all of the problems here at home, here in the United States. Another banking crisis. Just like there was in George W. Bush's time, just like there was during Barack Obama's first term, and now Biden. You know what's notice what's missing in there? I mean, maybe someone will have to fact check me about all of the bank failures that I'm guessing did not happen during the Trump years. Also, no wars, as Donald Trump continually says out on the campaign trail. Here's this 4 year. It's not like Trump did everything right. Trump wanted, he wanted to pull troops out of Afghanistan and everywhere for the most part and address the problems at home. But look at the world. Under 2 years of this communist insurrection, the real communist insurrection, the world is burning. They're storming places like El Paso, the migrants, because they hear a rumor. Yeah, we can get right through. So let's take it by, let's charge like this is a war. It is a war. It's an invasion. And then you've got the Silicon Valley Bank that Biden and Yellen say that they're going to bail out. Even the uninsured deposits. Forget about the FDIC taking care of those up to $250,000. I mean, even the billionaires. And so as much as this administration, you talk about talking points. We're gonna tax the rich. We're going to go after the billionaires. And here there's this, who knows what it will be, over $100 billion bailout. And never mind what they lie about. It's not a bailout. Well, who's going to pay for it then? It's Main Street America. It's middle America. They're responsible. They'll pick up the tab just like they do for Ukraine, just like they do for all of the causes, the left-wing causes. And more, as I say, it's just the Uniparty. They're all in on it. Ron DeSantis says something about there should be limits with respect to Ukraine support, and everyone just, their hair goes on fire. Their heads explode. They're so committed. They all say the same things. Trump's supporters, they look at what's happened. And again, so much of this, the failures, they're going back, even back to, you know, a couple generations ago. Look, we tried interventionism in North Korea, didn't work so well. Vietnam didn't work so well. Iraq on two occasions. Afghanistan was a disaster. Do we really want to commit or be all in Ukraine? None of this takes away from the seriousness of the Russian invasion of Ukraine. But you can see why Trump supporters are so adamant in their refusal to support the effort in Ukraine. Never mind what Mitch McConnell says. Even Tucker the other night says it's maybe the most important story on earth. Now, he's come out and voiced a lot of disapproval for the effort over there. He's against that effort. He's against interventionism. You've got this divide in the Republican Party. The neocons that want to get involved in everything abroad, and then the America First conservatives that say, you know what? The fires at home should be dealt with first. So this is the great division. And who has the most popular support on that conservative side? Well, look at the people lining up to hear Donald Trump speak in Davenport, Iowa on Monday night. I think that it's going on for blocks. Name one politician that can get people to turn out in a small Midwestern town in droves and line up blocks for blocks to just listen to Donald Trump. You know, he spoke for almost an hour and a half, and then he opened it up for Q&A at the end. Who does this? Who could hold the attention of a packed theater? Who could hold the attention for 2 hours? Name one politician. You think people are going to show up to hear Nikki Haley go on and on for 90 minutes? The world is burning. Going back to all the failures of the United States, you know, and we bring this out, and he was right, by the way, but it's also brought out in here, Herbert Armstrong, his prediction going back to the middle part of the 20th century, that America has won its last war. Now, Donald Trump and his supporters, they don't understand these prophecies. What Mr. Armstrong highlights in particular in the last 4 or 5 chapters of this book, but they can see what's happening before their eyes in Afghanistan, in Iraq. And they're tired of fighting, so many of them. They're tired of sending our boys overseas and then losing in the end. I mean, that right there, the prophecies in this is like the central text of our whatever we have to say on Bible prophecy. It's Herbert Armstrong's classic. It's gone out to 6 million homes over worldwide. People can see what's happening abroad. And this is how we know the Ukraine. Already we know this. The Ukraine effort is emptying out America's stockpile of weapons, to say nothing of the $125 billion that we've sent over there. $25 billion has gone missing, but you can expect that. It's just like for the big guy. You've got to leave 15, 20, or 20% or so for the oligarchs, right? So $25 billion goes missing. And then Trump, as he said in Davenport, $125 billion from the U.S. and $25 billion from the rest in Europe. That's how much Europe is laughing out loud at the United States funding all of this, supplying most of the equipment. And then Americans are looking at it saying, you mean we can send $125 billion to Ukraine, we can bail out SVB, but we can't, I should have looked, how many people live in East Palestine? If the government were to go in there with a bailout package that took care of every single home, I would imagine the homes there, what do they go for, $100,000, $150,000? If they bailed out every home, if they allowed every single resident in East Palestine to move 100 miles away, how much would that have cost? I don't think it's going to be in the neighborhood of $100 billion. You wonder how much a couple $100 million would have done. And yet not one penny. Not one penny for Palestine. Not one penny for the southern border. It's like those people in Montana were saying when the Chinese, you remember when they infiltrated our airspace with the balloon? Wasn't that like 2 seconds ago? And it just went right across the entirety of the United States. And the Babylon Bee joking that the people of Montana had to pull out Ukraine flags just to get the United States to come defend their airspace. They should do the same, you know, at the southern border. Just put a Ukraine flag like every 200 yards all the way across the border. Then the feds will show up. Then the U.S. military will come into action, you can be sure. But when it's to defend America's interests, when it's to put America first in anything, well, that's right down on the bottom. What was it that Melanie Phillips wrote? Failing to create an impossible new society, the joyless left are destroying the old one. This is a work of destruction. This is an abomination of desolation. Everything in the radical left's path. Look at what it's turning into. One dumpster fire after another. And then they get up. They actually bring these cabinet leaders or department heads, whatever. I mean, you don't even recognize them. But there's KJP saying, yeah, she's black. I'm black. I'm a lesbian. look at the diversity. Look at the equity. Look at the inclusion. And everyone else is saying, look at the dumpster fires. Look at the disasters that these department heads have caused. Look at what Buttigieg has caused, or certainly hasn't solved. Moody's rating agency just downgraded the entire U.S. banking system. That's, from yesterday? I've missed a couple of days. Thanks to Sam and Richard, by the way, filling in these last couple of days on relatively short notice, I might add. So we appreciate their efforts. So Moody says, yeah, the entire U.S. banking system downgraded. And what did the fake president say on Monday? Everything's fine. Americans have nothing to worry about. Our banking system is solid. Yeah. See, he just gets out there and he lies. When the fake president says everything is fine, the truth is exactly the opposite. Because they just get out and lie. When did you have the epiphany that, you know, there ought to be same-sex marriages, that there ought to be marriage equality? You know, you talk a lot about diversity and equity and equality and inclusion. When was your I know exactly when it was, says the fake president. It was when I was 18 years old, back in 1960. 1960? You mean when homosexuality was still illegal in most states? Yeah, yeah, that's my daddy told me. He said, hey, it's just about love, son. They lie about everything. CNBC, in a harsh blow to an already reeling sector, Moody's Investors Service cut its view on the entire banking system to negative from stable, The firm, part of the Big Three rating services, said Monday it was making the move in light of key bank failures that prompted regulators to step in Sunday with a dramatic rescue plan for depositors and other institutions impacted by the crisis. We've changed to negative from stable our outlook on the U.S. banking system to reflect the rapid deterioration in the operating environment following deposit runs at Silicon Valley Bank, Silvergate Bank, there's another one that went under, and Signature Bank, another one that went under. I'm not sure the status on Silvergate, but you know SVB and Signature, it says here, according to this Moody's report. You dig a little bit into this, as Sam was saying this morning. Anyone that's out there advocating for a complete and total bailout, they need to be investigated for a conflict of interest. Here are all, you know, the Biden people, they'll lie about everything. Oh, Trump, he eased regulations back in 2018, which, by the way, was a bipartisan effort. And those Democrats that voted for that in 2018 have gone silent. But that didn't have anything to do with this collapse of SVB. That collapse is, as Richard Palmer explained in his article on Monday at thetrumpet.com, that collapse happened because of Bidenflation, or maybe we should call it Barack Obama's inflation. That's why that it happened. Let me just give you some of that background from Richard Palmer's article. It says, SVB banks largely with tech startups. Over the last few years, deposits have exploded as these startups had more cash on hand. It says SVP had to do something with this money. It's expected to generate a return and pay interest. The money came in too fast to loan out, so it bought safe U.S. Treasury bonds and other long-term assets. Safe, right, Treasury bonds from the government. They're safe, right? Well, until interest rates skyrocket, as they did last year, and then the bond market collapses. And why did interest rates skyrocket? Because of Bidenflation. They had to raise interest rates to try to cool off the inflation, which was out of control. So that's why this bank, and I know there's other sides to this story as well, that this bank was a woke bank, contributing to BLM, contributing to all these woke policies and programs. But here are all these, you know, investors or people tucking their money into SVB, including Gavin Newsom, by the way. We'll get to him in just a second. All of these rich, you know, billionaires from Silicon Valley, of all things. And it explodes. It's a total disaster. And who has to pick up the tab? Not the billionaires. Certainly not. It's people in East Palestine and others and other places like that. They've got to pick up that the billionaires need to be bailed. I mean, they're Biden donors. They're Barack Obama supporters. Some of the people on the boards of these banks are Obama people. And so that's why the Biden team rushes to bail out everybody, insured, uninsured, the whole lot. Everybody needs to get their billions back. And the American taxpayers can pick up the tab. Is America under attack? I should say that it is. Richard says, the trouble is rising interest rate. Well, I kind of explained some of that just now. The high interest rates also slowed the U.S. economy. The tech startups that parked their spare cash in SVP needed it back. Once they started withdrawing, SVP had to sell its assets at a loss. Regulators and rating agencies flagged the issue. But regulators didn't do anything. Forget about the regulation or legislation in 2018. What did regulators do last year when they knew this was coming? What did the Biden government do when they were raising interest rates for those Treasury bonds and they knew this would happen? They did nothing. They did nothing. And then on Monday they said, to clean it up, we'll do everything. We will pick up the tab. We mean, of course, the taxpayers, but we'll pay everybody. Nobody loses a cent except for U.S. taxpayers. Well, but this is not a bailout because we'll make up the difference with bank fees and this. Well, who has to pay the bank fees? Joe Biden? Hunter Biden? No, just ordinary Americans. Ordinary Americans pick up the tab. And by the way, for him to announce, the fake president comes out on Monday. You have this collapse that could be hundreds of billions in the end. And he announces the supreme president. It makes me think of the latest, not the latest, this is February. There's the modern Romans, and you've got the statue of Caesar, made to look like Joe Biden. He comes out as Caesar on Monday. Forget about Congress. As I understand it, Congress controls the purse strings, or at least that's the way it's supposed to be. But he comes out and he decrees on Monday, we will pay for everything, and Yellen is right there echoing the same message. So Congress has no say, as per usual, when it comes to Barack Obama's style of government. Like, I've got a pen and a phone, I'll go right around Congress. We've seen this before. Again, all this is outlined in America Under Attack. Grab that one. Call our operators. Grab that one. Great again. Make sure you subscribe to the Trumpet Magazine, the 800 number, 1-866-930-3024. The Federalist reported earlier this week that the Silicon Valley Bank pledged nearly $74 million to Black Lives Matter causes. No wonder they're bailed out. They're on the right side, you see, politically. They're on the right side politically. They deserve a bailout. Even the uninsured, they all deserve a bailout. Tucker commented on this on his show last night, clip 13.
Silicon Valley Bank, brace yourself, spent more than $73 million on donations to BLM and related organizations. Wow! And this is not personal funds. Apparently, these are bank funds. Might be kind of nice to have that money now, but it's hard to argue, even in retrospect, now that SVB has failed, that that was a bad investment. Because even now, as banks are collapsing, no one in media is anxious to criticize banks, almost no matter what they do. It doesn't matter what they do. Even if they were to, just pulling this out of thin air, openly profiteer from a war in Eastern Europe that's killing hundreds of thousands of people. Oh, it turns out they are. And we know that because Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, and a very close friend of banks and BlackRock, is bragging about it. Watch.
It is obvious that American business can become the locomotive that will once again push forward global economic growth. We have already managed to attract attention and have cooperation with such giants of the international financial and investment world as BlackRock, JP Morgan, and Goldman Sachs.
So we're getting moral lectures from the banks, and we're getting a lecture on capitalism from some Ukrainian oligarch in a sweatshirt. Okay, now.
There you go. All these donations to the woke causes. The Ukrainian oligarch talking about, yeah, the American business locomotive and all of these financial giants, BlackRock, JP Morgan. They can fund all of this. America's broke. America's gone the way of Rome, as the February issue of The Trumpet brings out. And the Treasury's being raided for every last dollar that's been printed on a printing press that's sitting in there. There's nothing to back this up. There's no gold standard. It's just all bait. That's why when people get a little nervous and they think, wait, I've only got 250,000 insured here, I better run to the bank. And so they were lining up because as much as 90% of the deposits at SVB were uninsured. There's a lot of fat cats that sent billions into that bank and said, look, make us some money. And the bank thought, well, these treasury bonds, they're a good investment and we can get a good return. When the warning sign or the handwriting was on the wall, they rushed to the bank. We're still looking into just how many foreign deposits there were at SVB. How many of these companies, these big Silicon Valley companies, have direct ties to the CCP in China, for example? They get the bailout, no problem. But not the U.S. residents in East Palestine. They're long forgotten. Forget about that. It's like every week, as I say, how do you even keep pace with these disastrous headlines? It's exactly like Melanie Phillips said, a world in ruins. This is from the Intercept. Well, let me just back up to the New York Times. The bank had relationships with more than 15 companies working on technologies aimed at curbing global warming. No wonder they got bailed out. They're behind every global warming cause as well. Gavin Newsom, well, this past weekend, he was really desperate to get the U.S. government involved in some kind of a bailout. Well, he had his own money in SVB. This is from The Intercept. Cheering Silicon Valley Bank bailout, Gavin Newsom doesn't mention he's a client. Talk about a conflict of interest. Doesn't this warrant some kind of investigation? No, instead, he's out there saying, yeah, the dirty little secret for Gavin Newsom's state is that California is about to collapse economically. It's not just one bank. But here's Newsom again, as they all do, worried about his own money, his own businesses. Says here on Monday, Newsom praised the Biden administration's decision to intervene on behalf of Silicon Valley Bank's clients after the bank was taken over by the FDIC on Friday amid a bank run. The White House acted swiftly and decisively to protect the American economy and strengthen public confidence in our banking system, said Newsom. And then he doesn't reveal that he's got all these companies, these wineries, these whatever else's that have their money basically in SVB. Newsom added on Monday that he had been in close contact with the administration about SVB. He's in close contact with the Joe Obama people about how to fix this problem. No wonder he has a personal interest in this as well. America, you see, they see just how rotten. Gavin Newsom, by the way, he just got COVID again. He's got the two shots. He's got the two boosters at least. Might be three or four by now. And he got the COVID again. People are waking up, you see, to all of the lies. All of the lies and the corruption. America's trust in government is at an all-time low, for sure. Listen again to Tucker from last night, number 12.
No one at any of these banks seemed to spend a lot of time banking, which the rest of us believed was the core business of a bank. But no. In fact, at Silicon Valley Bank, only a single member of the board had any experience at investment banking. The rest were silly rich ladies. The Daily Mail reports that every other member of the board was an Obama or Clinton mega donor. One silly rich lady was such a sensitive soul, of course she was, that she had to go to a Shinto shrine to pray when Donald Trump won in 2016.
They're diverse, but they don't know anything about banking. Imagine that. Just one lady with a bit of banking experience on the board. All the rest of them, they're woke. Oh, yes. Diversity, equity, and inclusion. That's all that matters with this corrupt administration. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback to the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily.
What has happened to the United States of America? The wealthiest, most powerful nation in human history is suddenly divided, weakened, radical. The evil in America has grown powerful. The good has grown weak. The honorable parts of American history are succumbing to a direct, targeted, sustained assault. Someone, something is dismantling America's history, purpose, and character.
Fundamentally transforming the United States of America.
Political dysfunction, social strife, economic peril, catastrophic moral failure, fires, attacks, riots, lies. The nation is being attacked from within by its own leaders. Powerful elites in government, journalism, academia, and beyond are intentionally, rapidly destroying what America is in order to make it into something else. There is a reason why your nation is crumbling before your eyes. There is a spirit and a specific perpetrator that is attempting to blot out America. Only America Under Attack reveals that perpetrator and the motive and spirit behind him. This newly expanded book shows you the reason why America has changed so dramatically, so suddenly.
If you're confused and concerned about what is happening to America, request your free copy of America Under Attack by Gerald Fleury at thetrumpet.com.
The Trumpet Daily.
You know, there was a time it got to be a disgrace to work down in Rome. They got wealthy and pampered and living in idleness and ease and luxury, and they got their minds on entertainment and amusement and sports where they didn't want to go out and participate themselves, that is, most of the people. But they paid the professional performers to perform for them. They wanted their sports more exciting, more brutal, just like we do now today. And we're going the way of ancient Rome. And they wanted to rely on the government to support them, so of course taxes went way up, just like they are here in the United States. And the main thing was they didn't want to work. Well, you know, up north there were the barbarians. They were ignorant. They didn't know as much as the Romans. They weren't as educated. They weren't the nice, dandy gentlemen that the gentlemen down at Rome were. But they were tough, and they were strong, and they had good health, even if their minds weren't as daintily educated. And so finally the barbarians came down and overran them and conquered them, and what happened to Rome? Well, it fell good and hard. My friends, we're riding to a great fall right here in the United States right now, and we don't realize it.
Riding to a great fall, going the way of Rome. That's what this issue was all about just a couple of months ago. The February, I think we've had a couple issues since. The one on how everything's fake, and then the latest one on the demons and Satan the devil. Just the demonic attack on this world and on the nations of Israel in particular. But he said, Mr. Armstrong did there in that clip, that the people in Rome, they got wealthy and pampered, and they were living in idleness and ease and luxury, and they got their minds on entertainment and amusement. Does that sound familiar? Does that sound like any modern nation that you know of? It was on this day, March 15, 44 BC, that Julius Caesar was assassinated by his friends, his associates. They thought he was growing in power or gaining too much power. So they took him out, and they did it for the good of the Republic. This is from the Telegraph a couple years ago. It says, as it happens, the murder of Caesar did turn out to be a key moment in history. With Caesar gone, Rome spiraled into another cycle of civil wars, which resulted in one of the most significant constitutional transformations in history. The Eternal City abandoned its trademark Republican system of government and became an empire. Now, that was all prophesied, the Roman Empire, and it would continue over the course of five centuries or so. But with the assassination of Caesar, I mean, that was the death of the Republic. And as we cover in this issue, I mean, the founding fathers in America, I mean, they studied this early history of the Republic, of the way the Roman Republic set up its government. This is from Andrew Miller's piece in this particular issue. It's called The Party and the Crash, and he gives us some of that history. America's founders were deeply inspired by the ancient Roman Republic. After studying the writings of Livy, Plutarch, Polybius, Sallust, Tacitus, Thucydides, I probably mispronounced half of those, sorry, and above all, Cicero, they established an economy based upon free trade, property rights, and private enterprise. But just as Americans tried to duplicate Rome's success, they're also repeating Rome's failure. We're repeating Rome's failure. Says Alexander Hamilton, America's first Treasury Secretary, was likely inspired by Rome's fixed exchange rates between the gold aureus, the silver denarius, and the bronze sesterces when he established the bimetallic standard for the United States dollar. Is this how it operates today? Do you think Janet Yellen's interested in any of this information or patterning her acts, her behavior, her policies upon this? No, just bail them out. Just print more money. Print more money. Takes care of everything. For how long? It says here, yet more than exchange rates or infrastructure, America's founders were inspired by Roman civic virtue. In the days of Rome's greatness, the Romans regarded themselves as their chief source of income. They worked hard to provide for themselves and their relatives because they knew that self-sufficient family units were the basic building blocks of any stable society. These are the people who get the shaft in America today. Those self-sufficient family units. What's going to happen to them? They come upon hard times in East Palestine. Nobody's showing up for business. They can't pay the mortgage on their house. Is SVP going to come up and say, you know what? We're just going to waive the fees. We're just going to bail you out because we know you've been through hard times. We understand that you can't make your payments. There's going to be none of that for just ordinary Americans. No, they'll lose their house. You know how it works. Everyone knows how it works in the real world. But these people living in D.C., they've tried to create their fantasy utopia, and all that they've done is destroyed this capitalist system that was established by the founders of the United States. I mean, they've basically, the Joe Obama people, they've basically nationalized the banking industry. It's yet another bailout. SVP, they're too big to fail. We can't let them fail. It's just like 2008, a repeat of 2008 and 9, and it could be even worse today because the ripple effect, and forget about the ripple effect in the United States. What about in Europe? What about the banking system around the world? These are the times we're living in. I mean, an explosion is approaching. And the Joe Obama people are seriously out there saying, you know what? Everything's working. Why? Well, diversity, equity, and inclusion. That's why. One of the most important lessons of history is that no people who have lost their character can keep their liberties. Rome learned this lesson the hard way, and so will America. So will America if it doesn't learn from Rome's fall. Have we learned from the fall of Rome? My father's personal in this. Mighty Rome fell, he says. America is on its deathbed. That's from, again, this February issue. If you don't have a subscription, this is tomorrow's news today. All of your headlines, you get them 2-3 months in advance. How many times have I noted, just as this issue comes out, and of course it was prepared weeks ago, or in this case, months ago, and it's so timely. So how does that happen? Well, there's a strong hand from someplace that's guiding the operation in our editorial department on these programs that we produce, my father's Key of David program. Tomorrow's news today, call the number there at the bottom of your screen, 1-866-930-3024. Let me just give you a little bit from my father's personal. Again, Mighty Rome fell. America's on its deathbed. It says, many people are deeply concerned about the state of the American superpower today. But it's easy to assume America could never fall. It's such a mighty country with vast resources, superb technology, and a peerless military. It says many Americans seem to believe the country can indefinitely survive endless abuse, rampant corruption, and radical transformation of foundational institutions. This is false. It says history teaches us much about America's fate. See, if you know a little bit about history, you know where this is headed, this attack on America's founding institutions. But more than history, if you know a little bit about prophecy, the United States and Britain in prophecy from that same article I just read to you, my father says, the truth is that God prophesied the rise and fall of Rome, and God prophesied the rise and fall of America and Britain. It's not a popular message. It's not a popular message, but it's one that God's church trumpets abroad. I mean, we name our website thetrumpet.com. Our magazine is the Philadelphia Trumpet. Isaiah 58 in verse 1 says, cry aloud and spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. We've got to show the people of God their sins, their transgressions. Now, God's given us, in addition to U.S. and Britain and prophecy, he's given us some additional specifics to happen just right here at the very last days before the return of Jesus Christ. And one is that there would be a temporary resurgence led by a prophesied Jeroboam, but it's not going to lead to spiritual healing. It certainly isn't leading. This movement isn't leading to repentance, but one thing you can, national repentance, I mean, but one thing you can say about Donald Trump, like my father brings out in Great Again, is he does a pretty good job of identifying the problems in the nation today. Look at where this current administration, this illegitimate administration, is leading us. I mentioned in the first segment this speech that Donald Trump gave in Davenport, Iowa, just the other night. Skip ahead to Donald Trump. This is from Monday night, clip number 5.
We have inflation. These are all self-inflicted wounds, much worse than wounds. We have inflation that's rampant. If you look at what inflation over 200 years, what it's done to countries that had to suffer through it, destroys the countries. It's like cancer. Destroys the countries. We have now banks that are closing. Two big banks yesterday closed. That's a bad sign. That could be the beginning. We have an economy that's in shambles. You know, last year, you don't realize this, last year we had the worst stock market since 1929. Did you know that?
An economy in shambles, and here we're just printing off hundreds of billions of dollars for every cause except for the cause of the American people, the family unit, the stability of the nation. Well, that's all part of the fundamental transformation of Barack Obama. It's all part of his attack. Just destroy the foundation completely. They still believe they can raise up this utopian fantasy of theirs. And all that they're doing is destroying our nations as we know it. Just like Melanie Phillips said earlier today. Listen to, again, the resistance that Mr. Trump speaks of. The resistance against his movement and the widespread support that he enjoys. This is clip 9.
But every step of the way, we will be opposed by the corrupt warmongers and neocons and globalists and communists and all of the other menacing forces that have been trying to take us down with hoaxes and witch hunts. And they've been trying to do anything they can to stop us. It's called Make America Great Again. You know, MAGA. They'd say MAGA, MAGA, MAGA. They hate to use what it means. The term is simple. It's make America great again. There's nothing wrong with it.
And he certainly has enjoyed some success when you go back to his first term or when you think about the upcoming term that he's going to be back in there for one final run. Let me just give you one final clip from Monday night, clip 10.
And 2024 is the final battle. That's it. If you put me back in the White House, the reign of the corrupt Washington establishment will be over. I got to know them all. When I went there, I didn't know a lot of people. I had to rely on, in some cases, rhinos and others to give me some recommendations. But I know them all now. I know the good ones. I know the bad ones. I know the weak ones. I know the strong ones. We know them all. And America will be a free nation once again. And with your support, and these caucuses, we will, and we're always keeping you there, we're going to complete our mission. We are going to see that job through.
So I'll just here at the close refer you, again, that's President Trump from Monday night. Great again, make America great again. He just spoke to that. We'll inform you much more on that subject and whether or not that's going to be a permanent condition or just temporary. And I mentioned America Under Attack earlier. These are two books that really do supplement the U.S. and Britain in prophecy quite well. Just adding to the story, prophetically speaking, this is the Trumpet magazine that I mentioned earlier in this segment, Going the Way of Rome, the Modern Romans. If you haven't subscribed to that, make sure you, again, call our operators today, 1-866-930-3024. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.